Today's topic has absolutely nothing to do with the workplace, maybe everything to do with the workplace. It's much more significant and fundamental to our lives. At the beginning of the year, we had a topic on canonization of the Bible. Torah, Shebichsav, what was included, what was not included in the Tanakh, in the 24 books of the Tanakh, the criteria for inclusion. We're taking the next step now, and we're talking about writing and canonization of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, of the oral law. This is actually a topic that I got incredibly interested in when I was in yeshiva. I was 18 years old, and somebody recommended a very thin book, action-packed, called Yesod HaMishnah Barichata by Reuven Margolius. Reuven Margolius, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, wrote scores of books. And this one was about the writing down of the Mishnah. And from that sefer that I learned with an older Israeli chavrusa, I got interested in this topic. I went on to going through the Igeres of Rav Shri Ragon, a very interesting work also, written by Rav Shri, one of the great Gaonim, and reading through a number of the works by the Rambam on this, the Hakdama to this Perush Mishnayos, and other works by the Rambam. And I've dabbled in this topic over the years, and this is the first time that I really codified my findings in the Makoros that we have in front of us. You have only half of them, because only the odd pages copied for some reason, not the even pages. So I guess I will only refer to sources to read inside when they're on odd pages, not even pages. I will try to bear that in mind. Okay, so on a high level, initially when the Torah was given, it was in two segments, two parts. There was the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Initially at Mount Har Sinai, the Torah Shebichsav was the Chumash. Most of it was given. Some of it happened after the giving at Har Sinai. Chamisha Chumashei Torah was considered the Torah Shebichsav, and also the Nevi'im Ksuvim were written down and included in the Tanakh by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola at the time of the Bayis Sheni, at the time of the Second Temple. The other part, which is what we're going to talk about today, was the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh was also given at Har Sinai, but it was not written. It was Be'al Peh, meaning that it was the oral law. It was passed down, transferred orally from Rebbe, father to son to student, and that's how it went until it was eventually written down. So what we're going to talk about today is, in general, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the prohibition to write Torah Sheba'al Peh, and why he was prohibited to write down the oral law. That's what we're going to talk about today. Next time, Emir Tashem, we will take the next step and discuss what changed that it was eventually written and why. What was the heter to write down the Torah Sheba'al Peh? When was that? And eventually, I would like to talk a very significant part of that is why is there so much machlokas in the Gemara? When we're going through the Mishnah, the Gemara, there's so much machlokas. When did that all start? And how does that relate to the writing down of the Torah Sheba'al Peh? My hope is that this will give us a full appreciation, or at least a partial appreciation, when we're learning Mishnah, when we're learning Gemara, when we're learning Medrash, to really understand why was it written like it is? Why does it seem that things are somehow connected, but you have something in this tractate and something in this tractate, and they don't seem to fit? Why? How does that all come together? And what I hope is that by discussing why it was written and why it was necessary to be written, we will have an appreciation every time we go through a daf to have a better understanding of what is going on. Okay, so we're going to start on page number one, which we do have in front of us. Source number two. There's a Gemara in Brachas that says as follows: and when Hashem instructs Moshe to ascend Har Sinai, where it's underlined, Brachas Hayamar Aleph, Mai Dichsiv, what is it that it says in the Pasuk, Va'ednalecha es Luchas Eben, I will give to you the Luchas Eben, the Luchas made of stone, Va'hatorah, Va'hamitzvah, Asher Kasafti, that I have written, Lahorosam, in order it to be taught. What are these different entities, that different items that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara makes a drasha. What is Luchos? Elo Aseres HaDibros. Those are the Ten Commandments. What is Torah? Ze Mikra. Mikra is the Torah Shebichsav. This is the written Torah. V'hamitzvah, zo mishnah, Kodesh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai is saying, I'm giving over you the mishnah at Har Sinai. Asher kasafti, that was written, elu nevim uksuvim. We see here that even though the nevim uksuvim were not written then, they were written later on, but they are still considered to be part of Torah shebichsav. They're still considered to be part of the written law, lehorosam, in order to be taught ze Talmud. This is the Talmud. We saw the Mishnah and the Talmud, the Gemara, were all given at Har Sinai. Says the Gemara, Milamed, Shekula, Nitnu, Lamosha, Misina. This is coming to teach us that all of it, both the written law and the oral law, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaalpeh, were all given to Moshe at Har Sinai. And that's, in fact, the first Mishnah, famous Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Moshe, Kibel, Torah, Misinai, Master Yeshua, that Moshe got the Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the primary commentaries on Pirkei Avos says, what is the Torah that Moshe got at Har Sinai? It's both the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah Shebichtav. It's the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. It's both the written law and the oral law. Okay, what I want to go through is two critical Gemaras for our topic that discuss the prohibition and the heter to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. So we're going to start. You don't have page number 2, I do. So at the top of page number 2, there's a pasuk in Parshas Ki Tisa that says as follows, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ksav lecha satvarim eil. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, write down these things. What's that talking about? Torah Shebaal Peh or Torah Shebichtav? Apparently, Torah says, write it down. And then the same pasuk continues, Ki al pi hadvarim eile karati tcha bris ves Yisrael. Because al pi, what's al pi?
By heart.
By heart, right? So because I'll pee, because orally, via these things, I am entering into you with a covenant. So the Gemara in Gittin, Samach Amad Beis, asks the question, isn't there a contradiction in this pasuk on the one? And it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, write these things. Ksav lecha. And on the other hand, write these things. On the other hand, it says, I'll pee, that it wasn't written, that it was oral. So what is it? How is it possible that the Torah is both written and oral? How can it be? So the Gemara answers as follows. That is talking about the two segments of the Torah. There's Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebichtav was written. The Torah Shebaal Peh was not written. And actually, they have to be treated very differently. The Gemara says as follows. Dvarim Shebichtav if something is written, if you have a chumash, you're not allowed to say it ba'al peh. You're not allowed to say it by heart. You're not allowed to teach it by heart. If you're teaching Torah chumash, you have to teach it from the chumash, not ba'al peh, not orally. And if you have something dvarim shba'al peh, we'll use Rashi's gear. So Rashi says i'ata rashai lekotfan. If it's a Torah, if it's the oral law, you are not allowed to write it down. Right.
I hope you'll get to this question. I've had it for a while. Rabbi Yehuda Hanassi, he wrote it down, and we were told not to, but we're also told that Judaism will never die out. So I don't understand how we can say, we know Judaism's not going to die out, so things are looking bad, I'm going to do an Avera as my Hishtadlis.
In other words, how can you do an Avera
for Hishtadlis? For that. And say I was doing Hishtadlis. He's told that Judaism won't die out, so surely his Amuna should say, I've been told not to write.
We will, Amir, just talk about next, a little bit today, but even more so the reasons why. And what was the heter? If it was prohibited, we'll have to talk about what was the prohibition, how can you write it at all? So then we'll get to that. Yeah. Very good question. Okay, so here, Rashi says as follows. We have two categories. We have Torah Shebichtav, we have Torah Shebaal Peh. When it comes to Torah Shebichtav, Rashi says as follows. Dvarim Shemarti Lecha Bichtav, anything that I told to you in writing, I Ata Rashai Lemosran Yisrael Peh, you are not permitted to teach it orally. Meaning you have to teach it from the book. Have a book in front of you, teach it from the book. Udvarim Shebaal Peh, when it comes to things that are oral law, you are not permitted to write them down. Rashi says, Mikan atalamed shatalmud lo nitan lichtov, ela mibnei shatorah mishtachachas. From here we learn that the Talmud, the oral law, the Mishnah, the Gemara, as we consider it, and the Midrashim, etc., you're not permitted to write it down except until it was being forgotten. Then there was a heter to write it down. So that's what Rashi says to us. That is one Gemara. So here we see that Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, they're treated differently. They have different ways of teaching, different methods of teaching, and the Torah Shebaal Peh diametrically opposed, really. Torah Shebichtav has to be taught from the text. Torah Shebaal Peh cannot be taught from a text. Has to be taught orally. You can't even write a text down, according to Rashi. Now there's a second Gemara that starts out as follows. Redeemi, who was living in Eretz Yisrael, says as follows: if I could find somebody, this is a Gemara in Tmura, Yudalad on the base, if I could find somebody who was traveling to Bavel, I would like to write a letter to send a certain drasha to Rav Yosef. That's what Rav Dimi said. I would write it down. I would write down a certain drasha, Torah Shabbal Peh. I would write it down. I would send a letter. So the Gemara says, how can you possibly write a letter, including a drasha, which Torah Shabbal Peh? You're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbal Peh. And that Gemara in Tmura brings a number of proofs why you're not allowed to write Torah Shabbal Peh. One of them is Dvarim Shabbal Peh. If it's something that's oral, you're not allowed to Lo'om Ram Bichtav. You're not allowed to. Effectively, what we're saying is you can't even write it down. So how is it possible that Rav Dimi is saying, I would write a letter, including a drasha, Torah Shabbal Peh, and send it down to Rav Yosef? So the Gemara answers as follows: Dilma Mil Sachad Tashani. Maybe something that is new, something that has not been taught historically, that's not part of the canonization of the oral law, that's not taught in the base medrash. Somebody was mechadish something. Somebody innovated something, a Torah thought, that's now Torah Shabbal Peh, goes into the stream of Torah Shabbal Peh. It will easily be forgotten unless it's write it down. It would be permitted then, a new chiddush, to write it down. We're at the top of page number 3 now. Source number 12. And if the Gemara brings a proof that you're allowed to write something that's a chiddush. And remember, this is at the time of the Amoraim, the Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We can prove from Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who were Amoraim after Rebbe codified the Mishnah, Nahagu le'ayen b'sifra da'agadata b'shapza. They would look into a sefer, a book of midrashim on Shabbos, so they would not forget the midrashim. It was based on a pasuk brought in Tehillim, Eis la'asos la'Hashem, when we have a necessary time to do for Hashem, heferu sorasecha, we need to abrogate the Torah. In other words, to avoid the entire oral law being forgotten, it is permitted then to write down the Torah Shabbal Peh that would be forgotten. This is after Rebbe already wrote the Mishnah. Rebbe wrote the Mishnah approximately in the year, help me out here,
188 CE.
Very good. Approximately the year 200 after the Common Era was when Rebbe, that's the Tekufa, the end of the Tanaim, beginning of the Amoraim. The Mishnah was codified at that time. So we have Amoraim that is saying, you know what? The Mishnah's been written. We are also writing certain things down so we don't forget it. Based on this Pasuk in Tehillim, Eis lasas l'Hashem, the time to do for Hashem, heferu Torah Secha. In order to avoid the entire Torah for being forgotten, we can uproot a specific prohibition of not writing down the oral law. So to save the whole Torah, we can abrogate one halacha. Obviously, that's not for us to make those decisions. It's up to Chazal to make those decisions. Okay, so we see here that there was a prohibition to write, at least based on Rashi's Girsa, prohibition to write Torah Shabbal Peh. However, something new that would be forgotten after the time of Rebbe, at least, the writing of the Mishnah, was permitted because it was a chiddush that would otherwise be forgotten. Yeah?
Couldn't you say that's like kind of like a question, is like, can you kill someone to save Allah? It's like, can you break halacha to save halacha?
You know, that's a broader discussion. Yeah. And,
that,
you know,
that.
To kill somebody is to say something. You know, we do say v'chai b'hem v'lo shimus b'hem, that we can abrogate a Shabbos in order to save a life. Right? And there, the concept is that we can, and it's exactly the same concept, thank you for asking, we can abrogate this Shabbos because we will be able to mekayim many Shabboses in the future. So it's exactly on point. So to here, we can abrogate this one prohibition, because otherwise we're going to lose the entire Torah. But it doesn't mean that it applies across the board. There are times that Chazal has to make this decision. It's not for us. You know, you have that question, can you invite somebody over for Shabbos? Is he going to drive on Shabbos? Because maybe he's going to keep Shabbos, and that's debated by the poskim. Okay, so the question is, this prohibition to write the oral law down, is that an Isser D'Oraisa? Is it an Isser D'Rabbanan? This is a machlokus amongst the poskim. The Tashbis says as follows, one of the Rishonim, Haksiva Shiasura Minator, writing down the Torah Shabbal Peh, the oral law, is a biblical prohibition. Chassam Sofer says it's an Isra Deraisa also. There are others, for example, the Sefer Yehoyerim, it says it's simply an Asmach, it's rabbinic in nature, it is not an Isra Deraisa. Now, even along the way, when it was prohibited to write down the oral law, there were two big exceptions to it. Two exceptions. The one we just mentioned before, we said that Rashi, in his explanation, the Gemara, the Gemara doesn't say exactly what Rashi says. To go back to the Gemara in Gittin, The Gemara itself says Dvarim Shebe'al Peh I Ata Rashai Le'omran Bichtav. Dvarim Shebe'al Peh is the Torah Shebe'al Peh. I Ata Rashai, you are not allowed to. What's Le'omran Bichtav? You cannot say it. Strange language. You cannot say it from a text. Does it say in the Gemara, the Girsa that we haven't gotten, you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebe'al Peh? It doesn't say that. It says you are not allowed to teach Torah Shebe'al Peh from a text. The converse of when you have Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to teach it orally. You have to teach it from a text. If you have the written law, you have to teach it from a text. The converse of that is when you have the oral law, you cannot teach it from a text. You have to teach it orally. Does it say in the Gemara literally that you're not allowed to write the Torah Shebe'al Peh? Right? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Rashi has a different gear. So Rashi says when it comes to the oral law, Dvarim Shebe'al Peh, I Ata Rashai Lekotvan, you are not allowed to write them. That's Rashi what he says. But literally, the Gemara doesn't say that. So based on Rashi's girsa, that there was an absolute prohibition to write Torah Shebe'al Peh down, there was another in the Gemara in Shabbos, Vav Amud Beis, it talks about Megillah Starim, that you had a Megillah, which is like a scroll. Starim, Seser, means it was hidden. I'm at the end of page number 3, source number 17. So it says in source number 17, bottom of page number 3, this is Rashi and Shabbos. Even Rashi, who said you're not permitted to write the oral law down, there was a concept of a Megillah, this writing. People would take notes on their pads. Shehistirua, why was it called a hidden Megillah? Shehistirua mipnei shelo nidna lichtov. They used to hide it because they were not permitted to write it. In other words, what does that mean? Ukisheshomim divrei yachid chadashim. When they would hear a chiddush from somebody, from a friend, right? It wasn't taught in the Beis Medrash that everyone's learning it, but a friend told them, "Oh, here's a good chiddush. It would be forgotten otherwise." She'ena nishne beBeis Medrash wasn't part of how it was taught in the Beis Medrash that would be remembered. V'kotvin osan shelo yishtachehu, and they would write it down. They would jot it down so it wouldn't be forgotten. Mastirin as a Megillah, they would hide the Megillah. Strictly speaking, we should be writing Torah Shebe'al Peh, but if you have a chiddush along the way and it's going to be forgotten, we'd be permitted to write it down in a private manner and just keep it out of the way. Hide it away so that it's not like you see the books lying all around of the Torah Shebe'al Peh that's being written. Question?
Well, I was going to say, like looking back, it's like a slippery. It looks like it's a slippery slope. Because it started out as that, and it looks like it's going to go to where, well, all right, we should just write it
down. Yeah, but that's literally not what happened here. It's funny. This Rashi was really bothering me. Because I didn't when I was learning this sugya, when I was like 19, 20, and I was really on my mind. On the one hand, Rashi says you can't write the Torah Shebe'al Peh at all. You can't write it, period. In another place, we see Rashi that says they were jotting down the Megillahs, and he doesn't say it was us, or the Gemara talks about it, that they would write down the Megillahs, keep it away, don't put it in public. So I said, how does Rashi work? In one place, says he can't write it at all. In this place, he says that you would write these Megillah Starim. So I actually went to the Baltimore Yeshiva, Neri Yisrael, in search of Rabbanim there. And I asked two prominent Rabbanim this question. And I asked, one was Rabbi Yisachar Fran. This was like 25 years ago. I said, Rabbi Fran, he doesn't know me from a hole in the head. And I said, Rabbi Fran, what do you do with these two Rashis? And his response was as follows. Even though the big heter to write down the Mishnah was only at the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, approximately in the year 200, he says, all along there was like this mini heter. Of Eislas Asher Semeferu Torah, this mini heter along the way that it was permitted to write privately. Later, it became a communal heter for everyone that we could codify, and it's a different heter. This is a heter to write notes for yourself, but not to teach from a text. Later on, the heter was to codify it, write it down, and permit it to teach. When your Rebbe gives a shir in Gemara, he could give a shir from the text itself. So it was a different. It was like a Uber, like a huge heter, but it was a different heter because it was much broader than that. Okay, so even according to the Shita that was always prohibited to write the oral law, it was permitted chidushim in a private manner. And number two, there's a Mishnah that talks about the Megillas Tainis, that at the time of Bayit Sheni, they used to write down quasi-holidays that happened in Bayit Sheni, things that we don't keep anymore, but they used to write down the holiday, and it was called the Megillah of Tainis, fast days. Fast days, in other words, the days that they were not permitted to fast on, the days they were not permitted to have eulogies on, and they had to write down all of those dates, all those, because it would easily be forgotten. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, who wrote down this Megillas Tainis? So the Gemara answers, Hananya ben Chizkiah. They were students of Shammai and Hillel. Students of Shammai and Hillel, when did they live? Shammai and Hillel were approximately the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, a little bit before, something like that. So this was before the writing of the Mishnah. We see here also that they wrote this official book called the Megillas Tainis, the Megillah, writing down all the fast days that used to be celebrated at that time. So we see here, even though there was a blanket prohibition, Rashi discusses, and the Gemara discusses, that you couldn't write Torah Shabbat Peh, but it was permitted for Chidushim in a private manner, in your own private Megillah, and Megillas Tainis also, which was more of a public display of writing down, it was simply jotting down the dates of various holidays at the time of Bayis Sheni. Yeah, right.
If something's an Issa D'oraisa, I think Rabbi Issa said we have to be stringent on it. So wouldn't we have to go with the one that says we can't even learn it from a text, which means that we're all doing avodas like all day, every day?
So here, the second, this is before the heter, meaning we haven't talked about really the heter of writing it down and learning from it. So that's
it's now completely permissible by all
standards. So yeah, now once we add the heter, it is permitted, but we haven't got that's next week. Okay, so next, the other view, the other side of the coin is we mentioned that the Girs in the Gemara does not say, the Gemara that we have in Gittin, it does not say it is forbidden to write the oral law. It doesn't say it. It says what? It is forbidden to teach the oral law from a text. When you teach the oral law, it's different when you've got your head in a Gemara, reading the text as opposed to interacting and teaching more explicitly without referring to the text. So that's what the Gemara in Gittin says. Dvarim shebal peh, iyata rashai le'omran b'chsad. You can't teach it from a text. This is the Rambam, the Hakdam of the Rambam. We're on page number 5, source 27. Very important source. We will see a very different view of what the prohibition was. Not at all what Rashi said. So source 27, this is from the Rambam in his Hakdama to his Mishnah Torah, the codification of Jewish law by the Rambam. He has an introduction to it. Rambam says as follows, where it's underlined, Miyamos Moshe Rabbeinu, from the time of the giving of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Vad Rabbeinu HaKadosh, until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who wrote down the Mishnah in approximately year the 200, Lo Chibru Chibur Shemelamdim Asab Rabim B'Torah Shabbat Peh. There was never a codification of the Torah Shabbat Peh, of the oral law, Barabim, so that they taught from that text orally in public. Ella b'chol dor v'dor, rather in every generation, Rosh Beistin, the head of the Beistin, or Navi, or the prophet at that time, Shaya b'oso ador, that was living in that generation, Kosev la'atzmo, would write down for himself, Zikaron ha'shmua sheshama m'rabosav, anything he heard from his rebbes, he would write down his Torah. Not a problem. It was all recorded, all being written in more of a private. In other words, they didn't use it as a published text, as a codification that was accepted by everyone. But Torah Shabbat Peh was being written. When he taught, he couldn't use his machberet, he couldn't use his notes, but he could teach Torah Shabbat Peh as long as he didn't refer to his text. That was the problem. Referring to your text, but writing the text, according to the Rambam, was that ever permitted? No. You could write down Torah Shabbat Peh for yourself. Not a problem. Everyone would write for himself his Torah Shabbat Peh based on his abilities. Maybe Torah, from what he learned, for explanations of the Torah and the halachas that he heard. Next paragraph down. This is what existed through all generations from the giving of the Torah all the way up to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who codified the Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi do then? If you can imagine that every head of Beis Din and every Navi throughout the generations was writing his own texts, what did they have?
Tons of texts.
This Beis Din made this decision, and this Beis Din, and this Rav Beis Machadish this, and they had tons of texts. And it wasn't all web-based. What did he do? So what did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi do? What did he do? He collected all of the Divrei Torah, all the Torah Shabbat Peh that was written. And all the halachas, v'chol ha-beyurim, v'ha-perushim, and all the explanations of perushim, sh'shamu mi-Moshe Rabbeinu, that they heard from Moshe, v'shalamdu beistin, and every beistin that learned in every generation, v'chol ha-Torah kubah. He collected everything. He and his entire court. It wasn't even by himself. He had a whole beistin that went through all of this material for years and generations, decades and decades. V'chiber me-hakol Sefer HaMishnah, and he went through all of that, and he said, we got to boil this down from the hundreds of Siddurim of Mishnah, 600 to 700 Siddurim of Mishnah, that he boiled it down to 6 Sidrei Mishnah, 6 orders of Mishnah. And what was the Chiddush with this? V'shananu l'chachamim b'rabim, and he taught from the text, the Mishnah, the codification of the Mishnah, v'nigla l'kol Yisrael v'katfu kolam, and he taught it from the text, and that became the accepted text throughout Klal Yisrael. So what's very important for us is we have two diametrically opposed views of what the prohibition was. According to Rashi, the prohibition was writing down the Torah Shebaal Peh. We have exceptions if it was very private, Chidushim, or it was the Megillas Tainis, but otherwise it was an absolute prohibition of writing the Torah Shebaal Peh. On the other hand, the Rambam says it was permitted every generation to write it as long as you didn't teach from your own notes. Wasn't a problem. This was the Hanaga. This was what was done from the giving of the Torah all the way to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And Rabbi Yehuda Kanasi went through all of the text and he codified the Mishnah. Okay, I want to go to two more points and then we'll close. Why was it prohibited to start with to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh? Why? Why couldn't it just be written? Just like we had the Torah Shebichtav that was written. Given at our Sinai, why couldn't the Torah Shebaal Peh also be written down from the get-go? So there are 7 different explanations brought down primarily in the Rishonim. Tosfos says as follows, Im haya nichtav akol Yisrael, hayu ovdei kochavim akol kosvin. If it was given as a written text, the Torah Shebaal Peh would not be something special for Klal Yisrael because that would be accessible both to Jews and non-Jews alike. As we know nowadays, we have the art scroll, Gemaras in every language in the world. It's accessible to everyone. You can they have sets in the Catholic Church. They have it all, it's all over the place, accessible to the non-Jews also. That's an unfortunate byproduct of the Talmud having been written down and translated, that it's now accessible to all and not necessarily special to Klal Yisrael. It is special to us, but everyone has access. The Belzer Rav said something interesting. Now that all the Torah Shebaal Peh was written, what's special for Klal Yisrael? He said the minhagim that we have is what's really special for Klal Yisrael. Question?
Does all of this apply the same for the Medrash too?
Yes, that's also the Torah Shebaal Peh, absolutely. Yeah.
But all these rules and everything?
Yes, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Until it was written. According to Rashi, I skipped there's another Rashi, he says it includes Talmud, it includes Medrash, it includes the Agada. It was the prohibition.
Why was the Medrash redacted?
Different times. So that's part 3 of the shir that we get into talking about all of the different midrashim stuff that we'll hopefully do after Ben Azmanim.
Is it the 6 things that Rebbe composed? That's all the Mishnayos in the world.
All the Mishnayos, the 6 orders of the Mishnayos.
And then later it became the ones in Gemara, Brises, and the
that
rest.
That's the third part that we'll get to. Beir Tishem. Okay, so the reason it was prohibited, according to Tosfos and Gin, it was something that was special for Klal Yisrael. It shouldn't be accessible to everyone. Number 2, the Ritva says as follows, Mishum de kesheinam ktuvim kol echad ve'echad mosran zel ezeh b'tiktuk. If it's not written, it would be all the more important when teaching it to teach it accurately. If something is written, I missed it, I didn't hear it in shir, whatever it is, okay, I'll look it up later, not a problem. But if it's something that's oral, you have to be much more careful in the transmission. So that's number 2, that's the Ritva. Number 3, yeah.
I was going to say that I bet you, like a lot of times during the Gemara, the kuf, it's like it doesn't really have a meaning sometimes, or certain letters. I bet you when it had more meaning when it was oral.
Ah, so hold that point. When you're saying when it's written, it has less meaning.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we say, okay, a kuf is like ing. I'm sure they were like, oh, kuf really means this.
So there were medactic much more in it. They have to pay, every word mattered if it's Baal Peh. So that's effectively what the Ritva is saying. Very good. Number 3, the Ran says as follows, Kishein ne'amarin Baal Peh, how would you be learning it from each other? Who would you learn it from?
Your Rebbe.
If it's written in a book, so you can just get the book out and try to get through it yourself. It's in the art scroll. It's here and there. Just get it out. Try to break your head and figure it out yourself. That's not as good as learning something from a Rebbe. So the third reason that brought down by the Rishonim is that if you have something that's oral, it would be required to learn it from somebody who has full knowledge, a Rebbe. That would be a more effective method of teaching. That's number three. Number four, the Maharsha says as follows, Shelo yismach adam al haktiva v'lo yilmad yosef. If it's written, you're only going to say, I'm going to only learn what's written and I don't have to learn anything more. And what's the problem with that? You can't write down everything that the Torah Sheba'al Peh could include. The Torah Sheba'al Peh, you can never write it all down. It's so much more inclusive. In addition, so you would review it and review it more and more. It's something that you internalize and something you're constantly, because you have to know about Peh, it's something that is much more familiar with than it's, oh, it's in the book, what's the big deal? I'll just look it up when I need it. So that's number four. Number five, the Mabit says as follows, Hadavar ha-nichtav lo yishar tziro b'nefesh kadavar shalod nichtav. Something that is written, it doesn't really get internalized by us. It's in the book, right? We don't. But something that we memorize, if you learned your parsha by your bar mitzvah, for example, probably still remember it. Right? Because you went over. It's not a great example, but something that you really internalize sticks with you. If it's Tar Shabal Peh, it's something that you learn orally. You chanted it, you review it constantly to remember it. It's something that becomes part of your neshama. So that's number five. Number six, the Rambam in his Mora HaNevuchim, Guide to Perplex, says as follows, Rav HaDeos V'Yishtargam V'Sfeikos Noflos B'Lasham HaMuchuber B'Sefer. If it's something was written, we would have a lot of debate over what the correct text is. And we would get buried in, is it spelled this way, is it spelled that way, when we would lose focus of what's really important. So that's why if it's transmitted orally, we'd be able to focus. We wouldn't get distracted by saying, okay, is it this, is it spelled this way, what's the gear, so what's that? But the concepts would become part of us, and the content would be all the more important to us. And last, the Gurarie says as follows, it would be a technical point, but an important one, it's impossible to write down all of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's so broad now, it's easier that we have computers and we printers and all this stuff, but it would be impossible to write the entire Torah Sheba'al Peh because there's so much of it. One last point, a fascinating point, when you go through the Gemaras, now we see the Torah Shebichsav, we have the Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah Sheba'al Peh was oral. Oftentimes in the Gemara you see drushas that kind of combine the two. It's on a pasuk, but it's a drusha that you say, you know, how does that exactly relate to the pasuk? Why are they making this drusha on this pasuk? What's going on here? So the Torah Tamima says beautifully, Da, we're on page 7 at the bottom, source 41, Da, Daha dematzino b'talmudim, this that we find in the Talmud, in the Gemara, b'sifrei, Brysos, drashas, shonas, and in Brysos we find different drashas. Shal pia motziu chazalet inyanei v'lashonas haktubim pshatam, that they have drashas on psukim, but they have nothing to do with the pshat of the pasuk. What's going on here? The Torah Tamima goes on to say the kavana of chazal here was that it was difficult for memory purposes to remember the entire Torah Sheba'al Peh. So what they did was, you have the Torah Shebichsav that was written, they try to find mnemonics in the written law that would trigger the oral law in our minds. Because you can't write the oral law at the time, initially, until it was permitted. So Chazal, what they did was they tried to find different sources in psukim, words in psukim, drushas in psukim, to remind us of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So that's why we see all these drushas and gemaras. How does this relate to the pasuk? It was a mnemonic, oftentimes, not always, but it was a mnemonic that we could remember the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Because if you have something to hook it onto, the Torah Shebichsav, it's much easier to remember the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, let me recap real quickly. What was that?
I got it,
but not necessarily got it. Drushas in different psukim, but could be a Agadita also. Okay, so what we've gone through is the prohibition of Torah Sheba'al Peh. We've said there are two major views of it. One view is that there was an absolute prohibition to write. That's Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara and Gittin. It could not be written. There were two exceptions to this, but more minor exceptions, that if it was Chidushim, you could write it for yourself. keep it private. And the Megillas Tainis, writing down in the Megillah the different, during the Bayis Sheni, the different holidays that they had at the time that you could fast on. But the very different view is of the Rambam and others, that there was never an absolute prohibition to write the Torah. Shebaal Peh was permitted in all generations to write text notes for oneself. The only prohibition was teaching mitoch hachtav, that you were not permitted to transfer, to transmit those learnings to your students orally. Through the text, it had to be orally, but writing in of itself was never prohibited. And Mir Chisholm, next time we will talk about the issues of what changed historically that we needed to go from having the Torah Shebaal Peh in a oral format, taught orally, to having it in a written format. Question?
What are the parameters of the prohibition of teaching written Torah not?
It's a very good question. It's a whole nother topic, but let me build on some of the permutations. When you say the Kriya Shema, are you allowed to say it by Al-Peh or not? When you say Ashrei, because it's the written law, are you allowed to say it by heart or not? This is all discussed in the poskim, because apparently would all fall into the prohibition of saying the written law by heart. So the poskim, all of this is discussed, but it's a whole nother sugya. But it is all, and there are a number of heterim that are brought down also on that side, how we can say certain things, because we didn't abrogate that, apparently, right? We abrogated writing down, we needed to abrogate the writing of the oral, but the speaking out loud of the written apparently wasn't included. So the post, I remember when I went through that sugya a number of years ago, there were like 4, 5, 6 different categories of heterim that it would be permitted. But we'll delay that for a different time.
If you know it,
one of the heterim for sure is if you know it by heart, you know it well, you're not going to make mistakes, we are permitted. So that's why saying the Kriyat Shema Ashrei, if we know it well, we are permitted to say it by heart. Okay, guys, have a great week.
Bye-bye.